So if you need to look at it.
All right, well, welcome back again tonight. I'm glad you're here. And as he said, it's reassuring to see people return after the first night, because that's obviously sometimes a thermometer, a thermostat of what's going on. So, but I'm thankful you're here. And he was talking about some of the connections. I was very moved, so I will take a few minutes to tell you this, because I feel the Lord at work, and it causes me to look back and see just how wonderful and sovereign and many things I could use to try to describe our mighty God. But as those pictures were put there today, or yesterday, or throughout the week they've been put there, I think it was this morning, my wife brought to my attention, she says, Brother Steve Fulton is in this picture. And I said, you're kidding me. And she said, he is. And we looked, and it was in 1986, a deacon ordination. And that really set well with me. Brother Fulton was one of the men on my ordination council to preach the gospel and be a pastor of a church and be ordained into the ministry. So that really set in with me, and I just thought about how the Lord works. And then it made me go back to when I met Brother Joe, as he told you, is the first time we met was not because of any trauma or any bad things going on. We met on a good in a good setting. But to think back to that, the Lord was already working for a day such as this. And so I'm thankful, and thankful to be here and standing out there praying that the Lord would bless tonight. And as I'm standing there praying, I'm just watching the clouds as the Lord's moving. Because, you know, even in that, people don't realize that the Lord's stirring in that. The Bible tells us the clouds are the dust of his feet in the book of Nahum. And so as I watched that and I saw him stirring and just thinking about what's going on here, I don't think I understand it all. I don't think that you understand it all. But I'm telling you, the Lord is working in this church, and he's going to be working in this church. And I can't explain it. I'm not going to try to tag it on something. But there's great things ahead for this church. And so I'm thankful to be part of that and to be able to say, hey, I know them. And that's a blessing to me. Well, tonight, what I would like to do is I would like to get started in the book of Acts, if we can. I had intended to be in the Old Testament tonight, but the Lord changed that for me. We'll be in Acts chapter 13 and 14 this evening. And I am going to write a couple things on here since your pastor has given me the opportunity to use that board. And because when I get to preaching, I'm not the best at giving you my subject points or things to maybe round your mind in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to work through this, and then maybe at the end we'll go back through and check the other side to see where we stand within these points, or where we find ourselves. And point one will be stand up. Point two is going to be shore up. You can tell point one's pretty long. All right. Point three, stay up. And I guess I'll just put Acts 13, 14. I'm not preaching exhaustively all of Acts 13 and all of Acts 14, so don't be in fear when he said, well, we're not putting a time limit. Don't worry, we will not watch the sun come up here, Lord willing. But if we did, and it's his will, and praise the Lord for that. But I hope to be a help to you tonight in this message. And I've entitled it, We Must Continue. We Must Continue. I want to get your mindset where the Lord took me to and placed me at, and my mind setting in this. As I prepared this message for you. It's of the Lord's message, but he uses men to do his bidding and his work. But I thought about this. We all, at some point in time, need to be strengthened. At one time or another, we need to be strengthened. With the times we're in, we need to be strengthened so much more as we see the day approaching. I mentioned that last night. And you're going to hear tonight, you're going to hear a lot of this message that was sort of bled into last night. So with that being said, I want to know, how are you today? Where are you in your strength? Where are you in your stand? Are you shored up? Are you staying up? These are things I want us to understand and get our hands around if we can. If we can put our arms around it. How about this? How about you, lost one? You say, well, I think most of us in here, the Lord knows who's lost and who is not. But where are you at? Where are you at this? If you're lost, it means you're in your sin, you're undone, you're traveling through in darkness. Therefore, you have no strength. And you're in great need. You're living in darkness. You need light to be opened up to you. Think about this. How much more we need to hear the gospel in today's times. You might ask why. We hear it all the time. Brother Joe preaches. We hear it. Like he said, we can go to any media platform. The gospel's being preached everywhere. Well, because there's much perversion. There's much detourment from the truth of God's word. Amen. It's never wrong to hear what's right. So, as I've tried to get your mind wrapped into where I'm headed here, I'd like to move forward now. And in Acts 13, if we'll look here, because of time, I'm not going to try to retrace everything for you. But we do understand that the Lord had called Paul. At that time, he was Saul. But we understand he was called on that road to Damascus. We know that he called him out. He stopped him in his tracks. And then here we are in chapter 13. And look at verses 1 through 5. I'm going to sort of slide through this quickly to get to where I really want to be in the text I want to preach tonight. But in chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch." Now I want to stop there because many proclaim and believe that Manion was the foster brother of Herod Antipas. If you're saying, well, who is that? That's the one that beheaded John the Baptist. And if that be so, we see the grace of God. We see what the Lord can do with a sinner. And here he is. Verse 2, it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Now, the interesting thing about that word ministered there, which we're going to be dealing with that later on in the week, but we understand that to be a public servant. We understand it to be a performance of religious or charitable functions. And that's what the Greek definition is to minister there. So when we saw there, when in verse 2 it says, "As they ministered to the Lord," it's talking about an assembly coming together and serving, doing just what the Lord has put before them. These things are very important. We saw in verse 2, they were called. We saw in verses 3 and 4, they're sent. Look at verse 4. "So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." Verse 6, it says, "And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So we see a great importance happening here. There's many that want to pollute the gospel. They want to pollute the things of God. And it's important that we follow the Lord. Just like last night, as we were speaking of, we must deny self. We must put the Lord first. The hymns, the specials tonight, he arose. He arose. You're going to see why that really, it caused me just to go, wow. That was the first hymn we sang. He arose. But there's always going to be someone out there wanting to detour you from the things of the Lord. There's always going to be people. It could be other ministers. It could be other brethren that want to detour you. You say, surely not other brethren. If I'm not mistaken, we just discussed Peter last night, did we not? He wanted to detour the Lord because he was thinking as a man. He was thinking in the flesh. He was not thinking within the spirit. But there's always going to be those that want to turn people away from the faith. We must continue. So we see that they were engaged, verses 5 through 11. I haven't made it there yet. But we see that these men that had been called and had been sent out with the authority of the Lord, they were very much engaged. Verse 9 it says, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. That's why we must continue. There's people out there today that would be astonished at the doctrine of the Lord that we hold to. We must continue. We must push forth. We must be strengthened. This very week, I pray you continue to come because it's time for us all, speaker included, we must be strengthened in the Lord. This world wants to wear us down. Unfortunately, other so-called Christians want to wear us down. But folks, if I get nothing else across to you this week, one thing I hope you really get is we do not serve men, we serve the Lord. We do not have to fit in, we serve the Lord. We do not have to check out, we serve the Lord. That's why we must continue. Continue. Continue in the faith. The Lord has not returned. Our job is not done. There is no time to sit down. There's no time to be weak. There's no time to give up. We cannot. We must not. We have to understand the things that's taking place and going on. Well, as we move forward a little more here, we'll see what's going on and the power that took place. Notice in verse, I'm going to move on down. Let's go to verse 13. It says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And get it here. We're just starting into it. Get it here. Verse 16. Then Paul did what? He stood up. He stood up and beckoned with his hand, said, men of Israel, And I imagine that in my mind's eye. I think about that. It'd be like giving me or Brother Joe, we're in a mixed assembly, and all of a sudden says, well, someone, if you got something to add that would benefit the people, that would compel the people, comfort the people, then have at it. And I imagine taking my Bible saying, I have something to say. All people, listen, I have something to say. And I think about that, what that must have looked like in those times. I won't try to describe it because I was not there. But he stood up and beckoned with his hand and said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. I think there's a sermon right there. And ye that fear God, give audience, give ear. Have we lost our fear of God? Have we got to where we do not need to go to the Lord's house, the house of prayer? Because what else could it be? We must have no fear. Well, I'm saved, preacher, all is well. Be careful. You better deny yourself. You better look back to the Lord. Look, you take Oklahoma, Florida, Texas, North Carolina, Georgia, wherever you want to look, take the ceiling off and stick it on another one. Church people have church habits. And what happens over time, you're either brought up in church or you've been in it long enough that you just feel you got all the power you need, so you determine what you do. You better get back to having the fear of God, and you better give audience. Verse 17 says, the God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. Notice that, suffered he. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, and a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now, I'm going to stop there for a moment before we go further. Do you notice what took place there? The people wanted a man, so he gave him one. And we know the story of Saul. He failed miserably. He made a lot of decisions in the flesh, and he failed. And then we have David, a man people like to preach about his downfall. People like to preach about his sin. People like to look at that and preach, oh, old David, adulterous David. Be careful with that. Because we have here in Holy Writ, he was a man after God's own heart. And I know this is not breaking news to you, but who wrote the Bible? Who is the grand author and penman? It's the Holy Spirit. These words are inspired. And it says that he was a man after God's own heart. Which of you tonight would like to cast the first stone at David? I'm going to tell you, I won't. I should not, I shall not. But he was a man after God's own heart. And here's why I stopped here. Look at the third word from the end. Which shall fulfill all my will. God's will shall be done. Will you be the one to help that be done? This is the danger of making decisions on our own. We must take the example of biblical people that followed through, that can fight a good fight and say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I was thinking about that as these pictures that's come out. This is not in my notes. I'm totally off my notes now. But here's the thing. All these pictures coming, and it's all history of this church. It's history of this assembly, and you look at the saints that's passed along. And we know, and I don't have to bring them all up, and I shall not, because I'm sure someone would be offended and be on Facebook tonight. Well, you know, he didn't mention this guy. Well, but the fact is, we had giants of preachers, like them or not. You might have loved them 1 month and was disgusted with them the next month, but whatever the case, they were called and they were doing their best to serve the Lord. And they've passed on. Will God raise more men up? Not on more men. Will he raise more men up? It's his will that must be done. Just like I mentioned, Brother Fulton has reached the point now that he's battling things of the health with the mind. He can speak to you today, and you can call him the next day, and it's like you've never talked to him. These men that have done their best to fight, to do what God would have them do, to carry out God's will, they're moving on. We must stand up. It's time to stand up. So, I'll move forward here, and we'll get to the text that I really want to be at here in just a moment. Verse 23, we'll continue, that way it'll flow into it. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached, before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, you know, I wish there were some preachers that would study that right there. John was sent with a mission. If I never hear, why was he called John the Baptist? Well, because he baptized so many, really. Better read the Bible. What's the first thing he did? He preached. He preached. And he preached. But I'll get off of that. But we see here he fulfilled his course. He said, "Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God," there it is again, "to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead." Now, we could continue on and continue on, but I'm not, for the sake of time. But we see some keys there that we need to hold on to now as we enter into my text for tonight. So now, if you will fast forward, if you will, we'll go to chapter 14. And this will all be prevalent. You'll understand why I'm reading so much tonight. Verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews and spoke and spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part held with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about." In verse 7 it says, "And there they preached the gospel." You see, wherever they went, they were fulfilling the will of God. Wherever they went, They were on the mission God had placed before them. Whether the Jews stirred people up, whether the Gentiles stirred people up, it did not stop the work. And that's what's got this preacher's mind a little rattled in 2024. It doesn't take people stirred up and chasing you and coming after you. All it takes is a hangnail. All it takes is some bad weather. I've gotten calls from Florida. There's people calling me, letting me know that there's bad weather coming where you are. Does that stop the mission? Does that stop the preaching? I'll just go ahead and answer, no, it won't. Because I know that my Lord doth go before me. See this map here. I was talking to Brother Joe today, and I turned it because I knew where we was headed. But you see all this right here? This is the Apostle Paul. We're down here at the road to Damascus, running by there. Here's Damascus. Here's Antioch. We've already mentioned some of the names. Seleucia. Cyprus. It goes on. Attalia. Perga. Come on over here. There's Derbe. We just read it. Lystra, Derbe, Iconium. Look at it. Now, they didn't have Escalades. They didn't have nice little minivans that I've been blessed to have this week with little buttons that opens the door for me. These men were on a mission. Your map doesn't show it. I have a book up there I thought about bringing up, but that's okay. This works. This area in here was mountainous. They didn't have paved sidewalks. These men were on a mission. The topography was not pleasant. This was not Carnival Cruise Line taking them over here to Cyprus. They didn't have shopping centers in their ships. Have we reached the point we're so weak that we can't continue on? I say no. We must continue on. We must continue on. So, we see verse 7, they preached the gospel. And verse 8, it says, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent of his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice," now here we go, notice the wording, "he said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Iconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker." And we understand what took place there. And we know that Paul starts trying to straighten this out. Verse 15 or verse 14, "When the apostles and Barnabas and Paul heard, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." Now, we're getting to our text. Verse 19, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." So I want to stop there for just a moment to explain there is a need. There is a need. We must stand up. We must persuade each other to continue. He was confirming the souls. He's exhorting them, the exhortation being to comfort them, to drive them, to help them be strong. And we must fight this fight.
He stood up.
I think about that as that scene played out there, is that he was left for dead. And they're standing around about him, a group of people standing, brethren standing about him. And that's why when we sang that tonight, that first hymn, he arose. He arose. Who do you think it was that brought Paul up? The same one that said he's a man after my own heart, talking about David. God will lift us up. God will strengthen us. But we must stay on course. We must stay on the mission.
Amen.
The Lord's not blessing. He's not going to bless you in the paths you choose to take. You say, well, you know, I've been a blessed person as far as you know. But if you'll be, I can tell you, you will be blessed if you'll do what God has called you to do. You may not see it here, but you'll be rewarded for your faithfulness. Paul understood that. And I tend to go back to when on that road to Damascus, think about that, what Paul was, or Saul at that time was doing. He was persecuting the church. He was kicking against the pricks. Jesus told him, "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus." He is the Savior. "This is my church. These are my people. You're persecuting me." And I don't think Paul ever lost sight of that, of what he was. And I think that may be what our problem is. We lose sight of what we were. We lose sight of who we were. And sometimes I think many revert back. Egypt starts to look good again. At least we had food. See, nothing's changed over the course of Old Testament, New Testament. We are people. And if we get away from following the Lord and we get off the path and we get to where the house of prayer means nothing, the assembly, the ecclesia means nothing to us, and me and Jesus are like this, and what you're going to find is you're so far off course, it's almost hard to get back. I tell people all the time, miss one Sunday, it hurts. Miss the second Sunday, it doesn't hurt as bad. Miss three or four, it gets where, well, it's just whenever I decide. And it's not all about church attendance. This is also in the spectrum. I want you to know, as a church, as an assembly, you've been through much. You'll go through more. But I'm telling you, there's some good things going on. And you need to keep your eye over the valley. You're going to go through the valley, but you're going to come out of the valley. Why? Because the Lord doth go before us. And we have to follow the path He has us on. Back to the beginning. This week is God ordained. I have no doubt in my mind. You say, well, it's because you're the speaker and you just want everybody to hear you. No, Joe could have called anybody. He's got more friends than I do. I stay in my little shelter. That's why I was passed by and I think I saw a tornado shelter there. And I thought, well, that's usually about where I hang out. I have friends now or acquaintances because of your pastor. That's what I mean. He knows more people than I know. But all I do know is that I never had any interest in my life to go to Oklahoma. Never have. But here I am. Storm's coming, Pastor. Storm's coming, preacher. Y'all be careful. You do realize that, right? Yes, I realize that. But you know, I have no fear. Never seen a tornado? Don't necessarily want to see a tornado. But I have no fear because I know just as well as Paul can get here and get on board there and go over to Cyprus and then move on here. And on the way, people stirring up, fighting against him, doing all they can to stop the gospel, to prevent the faith from reaching the people, doing all they can because Satan has ministers. He still has some today standing in those things right there, pulpits. But Paul had his mind set that I must do what the Lord has called me to do. And I'm going to tell you, the church I pastor, Faith Baptist, That's what I want for our church. I want each and every member to have our mind set that it's no accident we're in the pew, we're in the pulpit, we're at the piano, we're doing specials. It's no accident that we clean up, we dress up, we show up. These are no accidents. We're following the Lord. The world says it's strange. You know what they're doing when they say that? They're trying to stir you up. They're trying to prevent you. Trying to pervert you. So there is a need. There is a time. We must be committed. We must be committed to this great calling. Watch what he says here. Or watch what he did here in verse 20. Here's how committed we need to be. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. So, you know, in America standards, that means so that we can expect to see him in about 8 to 12 weeks. Right? I mean, we all need time. Pastor, you just don't understand. Brother, sister, you just don't understand. You know that we always feel like that. No one understands. No, we understand. We're flesh just like you. What'd he do? He rose up and came into the city and 12 weeks. Is that what it says? The next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. The man was left for dead. The next day. That's how focused on the mission he was. He didn't go get a checkup. He didn't go get things checked. He didn't have to go say, well, you know, I tell you, it's been a rough week. Let me go get my vitamins. I'm guilty of that. One of my biggest fears is because we flew up here, how am I going to get apple cider vinegar? How am I going to get my Celtic salt? How am I going to get my vitamins? I live on that. Well, guess what? The Lord doth go before us. One of the first things Brother Joe says, hey, you want some salt? He knows I drink it. And you know what? I found out there's stores here in Oklahoma, too. We can buy vinegar. The Lord doth go before us. Amen. There is a time, and the time is now. He went the next day. Let's go tonight. Let's do it tonight. Yeah. Let's stand up tonight. Say, preacher, if you ain't careful, you're going to border into that Pentecostalism. Listen, I think we as staunch, hard Baptists, hardline Baptists, and who we are, sometimes we get stuck behind that line. When are we going to have the courage Paul has? He was not out looking for other Baptists just like him. He was going to people that needed the gospel. He was going to people that needed the precious faith that the Lord has blessed us with. So, he stood up. There is a place. You always got to be moving. Notice, he went, and they went to Derbe. And verse 21, it says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city. There's always a place. I've asked your pastor. I'm hoping we have enough time. I got something in my mind, and I want him to just take me for a ride around the city. There's something in my mind, and I want to reveal it to him. I want to drive around, and I want to reveal what the Lord, what I know what's been burdening me for our church. And I know there's something great coming here. There's already something great here. There's a solid nucleus, a core. And I think the Lord's going to build upon it. Looking at those pictures, this is no accident. This assembly. So, they went to that city and preached, and it says, and he had taught many. See that? Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, no criticized. Huh? Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what the Lord sent us to do, to go out and criticize people? Well, bless God, that man you see don't have a suit on. What is that lady thinking? You better get past this. There's a dying world around us. And God has placed you here. This church is placed here. He places people in the church, and there's no accident where his true churches are. And this church is here, and it's still thriving, and it's still alive. Why? Because there's people right here in Tulsa, in this area, all around here. You know the old towns and provinces. I don't. All I know is you got a lot of lefts and a lot of rights in this place. GPS, it loses, the GPS can't even control itself. Well, turn left, turn right, turn left, turn right. But there's people in dire need of the truth you have. And I'm going to tell you, people are not going to listen to the truth you have when your first words is attack. Was the Lord patient? He's long-suffering. He's still long-suffering. So why are we not? How come we can't approach people and say, hey, it's good to see you. They may not be dressed the way you want, the way you think is appropriate. But just think how you were dressed in the eyes of the Lord when he came and drew you. See, we've forgotten that. We've gotten past these things, and we can't. We need to get back. He taught them. People need to be taught. There's some people that know some truth, but not much truth. There's some people that know a lot of things, but not all things. And I'll tell you, I don't know all things. If you ever feel like you've arrived and there's no more learning for you, you're on the wrong boat. The Lord's church is going upstream. The world's church is floating downstream with current. You say, I don't know, preacher. You're bringing up things I ain't know. Yeah, I don't know about that. Well, you go back and read the Old Testament about the fish that the Jews would eat. They had to have scales. Now, why is that? Why does the fish have scales? It goes upstream. The fish that do not have scales, they're not going anywhere. And also, just a tidbit on that, when the fish come out of the waters, the one with scales, what do they reflect? The light.
Amen.
These are things we got to return to. We have hardcore truth. We have the preserved Word of God. We've been blessed with that. We're blessed to have them all through the assembly here. We have them in our laps. And we have the responsibility. We have the charge. We have the authority to preach the gospel. You know, people look at me strange when I tell them not all churches have the authority to preach the gospel. They're preaching the gospel. There's a difference when the Lord gives you the authority. Or you just want to do a good thing and think you have the authority. But we should not go attack. How can we teach people? You teach them and you start where they are. He understood it. So I'll move forward, and I'll skip some notes here because we need to move forward. We always need to be aware of where we are, and we need to be very much alert of who we're with. But I never want you to forget this, Deuteronomy 31:8. That verse says, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." And that word dismayed in the Hebrew means to break down. Shore up. Be not dismayed. You've been through a lot. I've been through a lot. Your pastor's been through a lot. We've all been through a lot. But we cannot break down. We cannot become weak. We must shore up. What do we shore up on? On the great God.
Amen.
The creator of the world. On Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you can't find strength in that, you need more help than I can give you tonight. The Lord, our God, doth go before us. This should encourage you. We should not walk around out here in the parking lot with our heads down. We should not go out in the community with our heads down. Well, we're just so different. No one will listen to us. No, you're on a mission. We have the authority. Invite people. Well, they didn't come. I invited them once they didn't come. Invite them. We have members at Faith Baptist. The wife invited the husband for a year and a half. Every Sunday, her and the kids, "Honey, would you go to church with us?" "No, I'm good." "Next Sunday." "Yeah, Wednesday and too." So that's not even counting Wednesdays. "Next Sunday." "Honey, would you go with us?" "No, I'm good." "Don't worry about me, I'm saved." "Next Sunday. Would you come with me?" "No, I'm good." She comes to me, "Pastor, I don't know what to do." I said, "You just keep doing what you're doing. That's what you do."
Amen.
Well, guess what? He told her, he said, I'll go one time. I'll go one time. He's tired of hearing her. And I can say that with confidence because he told me that. And the way the Lord works, the morning he shows up, I'm preaching on the gospel and salvation. And he realizes, because remember, he had told his wife he's saved because he went to a church years ago and they had confirmed that he was saved. The gospel confirmed he was not. So guess what? He showed up the next Sunday, and he showed up the next Sunday, and he showed up the next Sunday. Then he says, Pastor, can we talk? And guess what? Now he's one of the most faithful men we have. Amen. To the point, he's got to be careful because we can get very judgmental because when things become real to us, we're like, well, what's wrong with them? How come they're not here Wednesday nights? They're only here on Sundays. They're not here on Wednesdays. What's wrong? He's asking me because to him, it's very literal. The Lord saved my soul. He says I should be here. He says I should do this. I want to do this. Why don't they? And I said, so now we're working on meekness. Long-suffering. Err on the side of caution. So you think a year and a half's long, I got to meet the children and the product of a woman for 38 years going to Faith Baptist Church. 38 years she asked her husband, would you please go with me? Same thing. He went, and when the Lord saved him, the Lord saved him. And we have recordings of him singing specials. And he became a very mighty man of valor. He became a wonderful product of the Lord's hands upon him. This is why we must stand up and we must shore up. Well, your pastor made me aware of our clock here, so I'm going to move forward here. All right, so we're standing the shore up, but he went forth and he was strengthened. I don't want to pass by this. I got to give you this. Watch as we continue on. Verse 22. So he was confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, verse 26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So they were shored up, and here's why they're shored up. He deposited. He gave them the deposit. He commended them. He recommended them. He encouraged them. And that's something we need to understand. Back in verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. That word commended, it's just what it means. He deposited something worth keeping. He made a deposit. We have this ordination coming up. And when you read 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and you got Titus there, I have a book, and it's a wonderful book, and it's about guarding the deposit. And that's what the Apostle Paul is getting across to Timothy. We have something worth holding, something worth having. We must guard the deposit. So he shored the people up, strengthened them, propped them up, commending them. So we stay with the final point here now to stay up. As I read in verse 24, in verse 25, here's where I want us to get to. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God. And that grace there, that word grace is charis in the Greek. And it's a very wonderful word, and it means graciousness, manner, act. So in that, recommended them to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Well, Paul and Barnabas fulfilled the work. They stayed up. they fulfilled it. The work here is not done. And I would charge Grace Missionary Baptist Church of Tulsa, Oklahoma, stay up. Stand up, shore up, stay up. You have a work ahead of you. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but I'm telling you, there's going to be people added unto this assembly. There's going to be people that need to be taught. There's going to be people that you have to be long-suffering with. There's going to be people that you need to really exercise the gift that God has given you. I praise the Lord for His mercy upon sinners. But I will tell you this, we as Baptists, we as those that have the truth and have been taught the truth, as those giants in the past, as I mentioned earlier, that have passed on or are near passing on, I praise the Lord that we were able to sit under men such as them. But you need to remember, not everyone has been able to sit under men such as them. And they never will if we do not take the time to teach and work with them. We must stand up. You say, oh, you see all these churches all around here and everything. You know what they? You know what they're doing? They're doing the best they can. Are we? We know we have the truth. I'm not saying well, they're better than us and they got the truth and they're just, no, they got the zeal. And we need the zeal. Paul had the zeal. It takes drive to do this. And I believe it falls back to the point that we have forgotten that feeling after once saved. Do you remember the feeling? I've been speaking with Brother Jerry. Brother Charlie, many of you, do you remember that feeling when the Lord saved you? Do you remember that feeling of excitement and zeal within you, knowing how gracious the Lord has been to you, how merciful He's been? Do you remember that feeling? And you want to tell somebody, hey, the Lord saved me. That's the drive. That's the drive Paul had. And he stuck with it. He stayed up. And that's why we can read these precious words right there. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. We've even lost that. It's sad, but we've even lost that. I'm thankful you're here, and I'm enjoying my time. Like I said, you fed me so well, I've already put all the weight back on that I was so humbly proud of losing. But me and Brother Joe was talking about it. Why is it that just because I'm not the center of attention, why won't others come to hear the Word of God? Why won't others come to see a special service? We all get guilty of this. We get selfish. But you have the chance to do just what happened here. You say, well, when will it be fulfilled? When He returns. Until then, either He returns or you go to Him. So if everyone does their part, oh, it's a beautiful work. So I pray that this has been a help to you tonight. We must stand up. We must shore up. We must stay up. I'll leave you with this. That word fulfilled, it might be interesting to you to know. Here is pleroo, is the Greek word to it, all right? Here's what it means, to cram. It means to cram. It means to level up. It means to furnish, to satisfy, to execute, to finish. It means to accomplish. I thought about it like this. It means to cram, just as if this table needed leveling and I just continue to just cram and put underneath. That's what it means. You keep doing what must be done and fulfill the work God has called you to. You say, my ankle's no good no more. Well, get a brace on it. Do something, but do it for the Lord. The mission is not over. I feel like it's just beginning. There's good things coming. Amen. And I believe it. And I hope you do as well. So, That's what I have for you tonight. So I guess, like I said at the beginning, so where are you? Stand up. Have you stood up? Are we still sitting down? Are you shored up? Or are you still just too weak to even think about it? Will you stay up? Or have you already given up? We cannot. We must continue. We must continue. Why? Because the Lord established this church. He established all His true churches. And He established them to get on with the work. That's why. So wherever you are, wherever you're walking. See, that's the blessing of being a preacher, coming here, not knowing everybody, not knowing all the intimate things and what's over here. And I'm going to tell you, your preacher, he doesn't discuss your intimate things with me. So that's why I can get up here and look at you and say, where are you at? Are you there? Are you there? You there? You there? That's where we need to be. And we have the Apostle Paul as a great example. But he followed the example before him. You remember I read about Jesus Christ. He arose. So let us follow some wonderful examples of the Job.
Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. Sing with me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. We can do these things. His eye is on the sparrow. We know He cares for us. He watches us. So many of you travel with me, so you know this song broke my heart a couple months ago. And even in singing it now, I see that Jesus is my portion part, and I didn't even know that's where that came from for the past month and a half. That's followed us around. Happiness in God is not conditional. God is not conditional. We can be happy. no matter how the election is, sorry, Isaac, our happiness isn't dependent upon that. No matter how many or how few we ever see in this room with us again, those pictures are a reminder that he is ever with this church. All of these things being revealed this week, our connection to Tate, our connection to folks back east, is a reminder that God is bigger than we are. The storms tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday, they're a reminder, just like that crack of thunder at 2 a.m. over here last night, that he is bigger than we are. He already designed those storms long before we knew we were having this meeting, but he knew we were having this meeting. Some of the things that he said tonight made me think of my brother. He talked about how we should be inviting folks, and John is inviting everyone to church right now. And that some that have come have said, well, I know so-and-so and so-and-so. And John hasn't made the connection yet, but they weren't invited by so-and-so and so-and-so. They were invited by John, an eager young convert, for lack of a better words, who was recently baptized. And he's hungry, and he's desirous to be fed, and he wants his family in church. He asked, if you remember what the day of your salvation was like, do you remember that appetite? That eager, that zeal? I want the truth of the scriptures. You remember where you were, he asked. And I thought about how I was tangled up in rosaries and robes myself when the Lord first revealed the truth to me. And I was tangled up with all the religion in the world that I could possibly do to have God, but I was never going to get him that way. He revealed himself to me, and I, just like John, why isn't everybody here? Why would they miss Wednesday? Do they know how precious this is? Why would they skip Sunday school and come just for the main service and lunch and miss this? He talked about the faithful wives, kind of like the widow with the unrighteous judge, that just kept pursuing and pursuing. Those of you who are friends with me on Facebook know that about 7:30 a.m. Central Time, I always share scripture from Sister Brenda Davenport. She's a member of Olmsted Baptist Church, and she did the same thing with her husband for years. While the kids grew and left the home for years, she said, would you come to church? Would you come to church? Would you come to church? She didn't tell me that story. He did. With tears in his eyes, as he was just destroying me at Domino's, he said, if she hadn't done that, who would have? If the gospel be hid, it be hid from them that are lost. If you're holding back the gospel, it's hid from them that are lost in your life. Those that you've been entrusted with a responsibility for, to give the gospel truth. May the Lord impress upon us our need to do these things. Our need to be awake. Wake up. Our need to be alive and ever present. Our need to sing these songs with smiles. I wonder sometimes in some congregations when we come in and we do a singing and everybody looks just so miserable when they're singing their specials. I wonder if we know the Lord. I wonder if we recognize that he's my portion. He's made so much possible for me. How much he's forgiven me for should be just enough for me to smile. But I do it too. I'm probably the worst in our quartet at not smiling when we sing. May the Lord be with us. May we also recognize what he closed with. I pray he gets a little more of that before the week's over. Of our requirement to be wise and gentle with the power that we've been entrusted with. In that book, that's a grace that's spread across our laps and the pews, is a power. Amen. And it should be wielded as such. It should not be set as a mine or the trap stick, as we've talked about before. And it should not be used as a baseball bat to beat over people as they slumber, as they stray. It is a soft pillow for a weary traveler. It is a bountiful meal for those who've just begun to taste the sweetness of his word. Let us remember those things. Let us remember how precious the Word of God truly is. Let us remember we are a remnant. We are a scattered few upon this created globe. Amen. That have been entrusted with this power and with this message. I don't know how many preachers do this, but when other preachers preach, and suddenly I'm able to listen a little bit better to what scriptures say. So I always have a list of preach this, preach this, preach this, preach this that I write down. And I don't know if that's how he got to Acts 13 and 14, but that word fulfill came up over and over and over again all the way to the end of that chapter, that last chapter.
That's why we took the journey.
Amen. And he was a part of the whole thing. God was. He authored it. He called, he led, he fed, he guided, he blessed. Whatever is coming for Grace Missionary Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, it will be fulfilled. With or without us, if it's of God, it will be fulfilled. Amen. If the Lord has done a work in your hearts tonight, we will sing another song if our song leader is ready.